Hi, and welcome to the Passionistas Project podcast. We're Amy and Nancy Harrington. If you enjoy listening to the show, please consider becoming a patron. Just a small donation of $1 a month can help us keep the project going, and you'll get rewards like buttons, access to premium content, and invites to Passionistas Project events. Today we're talking to Sarah Boyd, the founder and creative force behind Simply, a beauty and fashion brand consultant agency. Through Simply's flagship conferences and monthly sessions, they bring together fashion, beauty, and entrepreneurial mavens to work, inspire, and learn from one another. So please welcome to the show, Sarah Boyd.
Hi, thanks for having me.
What are you most passionate about?
Well, that is what I asked myself 7 years ago when I started my business. I boiled it all down, and my true passion is connecting people. And that's how I started the business, is based on connection, and that's it. We connect.
How does that translate into a business?
That was my big question I had in my head. I was like, okay, I found what my passion is. It's connecting people. I came from PR, so that I did that as a living, but I wanted to kind of take it a step further and connect people in a more meaningful way and change people's lives every day. I'm a helper, so I love seeing others succeed. And so I quit my job. I knew that that was my passion. And then I was like, okay, how do I do this and make money? So I started with our conference. I gave myself 3 months after I quit my job to plan our first conference. And that is really to connect people in the fashion and beauty industry, whether it's an aspiring stylist to learn from the top in the industry on how to make it or potentially get an assistant job, or learn from these big bloggers on how they do it, because there's no school to become a blogger, or fashion editors or designers, all of these people that have these amazing jobs. There's no bridge to connect. There's so many amazing, aspiring women and men out there, but they might not have that connection or that relationship to get their foot in the door. I was lucky enough to have a sister that got me in the industry and trusted me, but I came across so many people that did not have that connection. So I wanted to build that. That's what I did through our conferences. And that's how we started 7 years ago. We've grown a lot since then, but yeah, we stay true to connecting in a kind way. And that's really our ethos.
You had a conference this summer. What was the focus of that event?
This was actually our 7th LA conference. I think it was our best yet. I say that every conference, but that's good. You always want to get better. We did it at the Americana at Brand. It's a huge space over in Glendale. And we kind of took over the entire park and retail space, and we built a huge tent. And basically people could take two tracks. So you could either take the influencer track if you want to be an influencer, or the digital marketing track if you want to or do work in digital marketing, social media. Some of our speakers ranged from the director of social for Revolve Clothing. We had Kat Graham, who's an actress and musician. We had Sarah Snyder from YouTube. We had Emerald Tubia, who's a young actress. We had almost 50 speakers. So Who What Where was our media partner. So we had a lot of their editors and marketing execs on site. We had micro influencers like Ashley Foltz. We had Lauren Bushnell and Becca Tilly from The Bachelor, who have created their own, you know, entrepreneurial empire, really, through social media and their own brands. We had Cezanne Hendricks, who actually attended our conference a few years ago and now has spoken at like 6 of them and has become such a powerhouse. We had Kim Kardashian's ex-assistant, Steph Shep, for like, she's assisted her for years and broke out on her own. So she talked about that journey. We had so many amazing speakers. It was like my wedding day. It was awesome. And we had about 900 people throughout the entire day.
Talk a little bit about the Simply Digital Network and how that works.
After a few years of doing our conference, like I said, I came from fashion PR. I had a lot of different relationships. A lot were celebrities that I used to work with. And once I launched the conference, they really saw what I was doing in the digital and blogging space. And they started coming to me and they were like, you know, I have 1 million followers. How do I monetize that following? Because, you know, they all have their traditional agents and managers and publicists, but they really are focused in the acting and the music industry. My focus is obviously digital. So our niche is celebrities representing, managing them in the digital space. So we have about 20 clients on that roster right now, ranging from Jamie Chung to Kat Sadler to Olivia Culpo, Alessandra Ambrosio. The list goes on. They're all listed on our website, but we work with them all in different ways. Some of them we help with their content, their management, their brand as a whole and look at them holistically from my PR background to my management and look at them that way and help them with their partnerships and kind of guide them along this like difficult influencer world, whether it's learning how to do a blog or how to get affiliate commissions or how to do structure deals, because they're very different in the way that they do deals as an actress or a musician or more of the traditional celebrity route. So it's been exciting, a huge growth in the company, but we try to stay niche. We keep it at about 20 clients. That's about all we can manage at this point. And then we can also work with brands that come to us that want us to give our expertise on which influencers they should work with. We can help cast them, contract them, execute their campaigns, bring their campaigns to life, whether that's through our clients or through other clients that we cast.
Do you have a number one tip for someone who's trying to build a social brand?
The fastest way to growth is collaboration, which I love because I'm all about connection and kindness. So I think collaboration is the biggest way that we've seen fast growth. And it's collaborating with like-minded but different people. So kind of to give you an example, one of our clients might be a mom that has a YouTube channel. Maybe she partners with a mom that has a very different following on their YouTube. So she gets the new following, but then has her following follow the new client. So it like all feeds each other, but it's different audiences with similar interests.
So what's your daily routine? Is it different every day?
Yes, very different every day because I wear a lot of hats. Sometimes we have an event going on. We have our conference in Dubai, so sometimes I'm there for a week. Sometimes I'm really heavy focused on our talent. Every day is a little different. Every day, though, I do wake up and have a 30 minutes to an hour with my 2.5-year-old Ava. So that is my happy moment in the morning. She comes in bed and snuggles with me and we watch her like crazy YouTube videos. And I love that moment. And my husband, we're all usually snuggling in bed for a little. And then, yeah, I get ready, head into the office or I have a meeting. And then a day or two a week, I'll try to do some events, whether it's a dinner or a networking event, get together with girlfriends. And then weekends are my safe haven. We have a lake house in Arrowhead. We'll try to go up there for a weekend and just decompress because the week gets crazy and heavy and I need that break.
Tell us how you expanded the conferences, how you decided what locations you were going to go to, and your future plans for expansion.
For me, a lot of the time it's just listening to what people want. On Instagram or on Facebook, we had a lot of requests after we did LA was to go to New York. So I was like, I'm kind of a person that I jump. I have no regrets. I have no fear, which sometimes burns me, but you kind of need that to be an entrepreneur. So after our first LA conference, we had a lot of requests for New York. Obviously, there's lots of influencers and talent there, so it's easy to get speakers. So I was like, great, after our first conference, 3 months later, let's do New York. And that was a lot to bite off, but we made it happen. And then after New York, we got a lot of requests for Chicago, so we did Chicago. Dubai kind of came to us. Someone who's based there really liked our concept and heard about us. So we have a strategic partner in Dubai. So we bring our name and we bring some US influencers and they help produce it and bring Middle Eastern influencers. So that was a really great partnership. We kind of go with what our audience is looking for and what the fans want.
Talk about how they differ from city to city, particularly Dubai. Is the audience different there? Is the focus different there?
It's a little bit smaller. Our LA and New York conferences, like this LA one, had 50 speakers. Dubai is about 20 or less. It's one room, one track, panels and breakouts throughout the whole day. I think they're a couple years behind the US in terms of digital and social, but I see every year is growing. So the first year, people didn't quite get it. They were like, wait, what? What's influencers? They didn't quite know what this was. But every year I'm seeing more and more, and they fly in from all over the Middle East. So we have a lot of incoming, you know, people. A lot of people don't live in Dubai. They travel in for it, which is great. The topics are pretty much the same, though. We talk about, we have a styling panel. We have a social media panel. We have a couple big name keynotes. So the concept is the same. It's just toned down a little bit compared to LA and New York.
And do you find common themes and issues among women as you travel to do these conferences?
I think the number one thing people come to our conference for is really to get inspired. people need that, like Tony Robbins moment of, I can do this. Other people are doing it. They made it happen. I see other women and men around me that are in the same boat. I'm making these relationships. And really, that's what you need. You need that friend or that confidant or that person that you meet or the inspiring speaker to really kind of kick you into gear, because so many people get in their own way. It's in their own head. It's their own negativity. It's their own fears. And everyone's scared. I mean, I was too. That's what I see a lot of. It's people just needing that confidence boost. And I'm happy to be able to give that.
So how did you overcome your fear?
I owe it all to my amazing husband. He was like my mentor, my manager, my boss, my husband. He was everything. And he really was the one that was like, you're amazing. You need to do this. You're going to kill it. Don't worry about if you're making money or not, because you're going to kill it. There is no doubt in my mind. He just pumped me up every single day. And then once you hear that enough, you start believing it and you go for it and you have no fear.
As someone whose business is to inspire others, what do you do on a day when you are not particularly inspired? You don't have motivation, but you need to work through it.
There's always those moments when you see someone else doing better, or it's hard to say, but keep the blinders on. Unfollow people that are not inspiring to you, or they make you feel less than or anything like that. And they might not be doing it in a mean way. It might just be this gorgeous girl that's on a yacht all the time. And you're like, I can't watch that. Mute. So I think just putting that out of your vision and keeping the tunnel vision on, having your to-do list every day, staying busy is huge. If you're not staying busy, whether it's like going to networking events or just keeping your calendar full, you'll start to like kind of waver and look at what other people are doing. And that's always where you start to kind of go downhill. So keeping the focus, I would say, and staying busy.
Is there one thing that you know now that you wish you knew when you started?
Probably a million things. One definitely is, as cheesy as it sounds, like there's no I in team. I can't take credit for anything. Like, I have an amazing, loyal team that has just, some of them have been with me since day one. It's been incredible to see them grow and just the compassion and energy they put into my business has been amazing to watch, and the drive and all of that. Not feeling alone, like you have to do it all yourself. It's really finding the right team around you to help you go for your dreams, because you're not good at everything. And knowing what your strengths are and what your weaknesses are and filling in the gaps where you're not good.
What's been your biggest professional challenge to date, and how have you overcome it?
Probably an acquisition that happened about a year and 3 months ago, as soon as I had my baby. So literally I have a newborn, pushing her around and trying to run my business and getting acquired. So that year was crazy, but that was a huge challenge. I'm from small town Pennsylvania. I didn't go to business school. Like, I never thought that I would build a business and sell it within 5 years. So that was a huge challenge for me, but I learned so much and I'm still learning so much from that.
What's your biggest takeaway from that?
The numbers and how to put together P&Ls and what your valuation is and the legal and just everything that goes with an acquisition, hiring the right team to make sure that you are in the best position for sale. So yeah, that was a lot of learning, and also trying to juggle a newborn on top of it and keep the numbers high so you're still an attractive business.
We're Amy and Nancy Harrington, and you're listening to the Passionistas Project podcast and our interview with Sarah Boyd. Visit simply-inc.com to learn more about Sarah's upcoming conferences. Now here's more of our conversation with Sarah. What's the most rewarding part of your job?
Definitely the day of the event, the conference. When I look and I see all of these women just so happy, and all of them thanking me for creating something like this because it's changed their life and given them inspiration. And I hear so many stories of them like creating their own business after coming, or making a new relationship that helped them, or just countless amazing testimonials, and like being there on that day with all the planning and all the work going into it. It's amazing.
Is there a moment in your journey so far that you look back and think that was the most courageous thing I could have done and it totally changed the path that I'm on?
There's been a few, but I think when I started the digital network, because there was a lot of naysayers like, you're not a traditional manager, you're not an agent, you're not this, you're not that, you don't know how to work with celebrities. And I was like, I can figure it out, right? Like, again, I was just fearless. And, you know, the big agencies, some of them were kind of sniffing around and they're like, who's this girl? Why is she taking our talent? Like, we want all of them. We don't want to give away a piece of their pie. So, you know, I came across some of that, but in the end, it's amazing. And all of our talent is happy because they have additional revenue. They have this whole other business now that they didn't have previously. That was a big risk because these agencies run the town in Los Angeles.
Talk about your childhood and specifically your mom and what you learned from her about women's roles in society and what girls can and can't do.
My mom is amazing. Yeah, I grew up in this tiny town, York, Pennsylvania. My parents were divorced when I was young, so I was really raised by my mom. I saw my dad, you know, weekends and a couple days out of the month, but it was really with my mom, and she had her own business and had three kids and always was there in the morning with breakfast for me and showed me off to the bus, and then she went and did her job and then came back. I totally understand now that I have kids, the dedication and what she gave up for me. You don't realize until you're a mother what your parents do for you. And she's just such an incredible role model because still having her own business and making things work while having three kids is just incredible. I can barely do it with a husband. So just seeing her, and I think I've, you know, probably got my work ethic from her. She was always trying to better her business. She got her master's degree with three kids. She had like a one that was like 4 years old. So she was working and getting her master's degree at night. And it's just incredible to see what she gave up for us and still went for her dreams and still has her business at 68 years old now and hustling every day. So she's been an amazing role model. In terms of my childhood, I was a bad kid. You never know that, but I was so bad. And now I look back and I'm like, oh my gosh, I put my mom through so much stress as a teenager. I didn't listen. I would sneak out. I was bad. And she probably wanted nothing to do with me. But after college, I calmed down a little. But, you know, that's what you do in a small town. There's nothing else to do other than like be bad and sneak around with the wrong crowd. But yeah, I straightened myself out by the time I got to college. And yeah, but I love the values of a small town. I love you go to the park and you play until dark and mom rings the bell and you come in for dinner. Like, I wish I had that for my daughter now. Everything's like through Uber and through play dates. And it's just a simple life, which is so nice and just such good core values that I am so happy that I grew up that way and have that to go home to.
What lessons do you want to impart to your daughter as she becomes her own woman?
I just want her to be a good person. I want her to have manners and be a kind human. And I want to instill those values, those small town values. And I don't want her to be that LA girl. Sorry, girls that grew up here, but like you can be an LA girl, but have those small town values and be humble and everything's not about money and fame. And I think that I will be happy if she is a good human.
Did you have other influential female role models in your childhood besides your mom?
I mean, it was definitely my mom, my sister, who's 10 years older than me. That's actually who I worked with when I moved out to LA in PR. So she's been like a second mom to me, but also a sister. She's been incredible and just knows me inside and out. And we worked together for 10 years. And we still obviously see each other all the time, and our daughters are friends and obviously cousins and see each other all the time. So it's just nice having people that know you inside and out and know when you're not being true to yourself and can kind of bring you back down to like, hey, this is you. You're not being who you are truthfully. So yeah, I would say the two of them.
And what about professional mentors? Have you had any of those in your career?
I look up to, obviously, like the Tony Robbins, the Gary Vee, the Oprah, the, you know, all of those inspirational speakers and people like that. I just love a good girl boss. All of these women are just, there's so many of them just killing it. And I just love listening to them and hearing their stories, or we'll do meetup. A lot of my friends are entrepreneurs, so we'll just grab dinner and talk business and also personal. So I feel like I feed a lot off of my peers and my friends, and even my friends that don't have businesses. I just feed off of everyone, and I can always gain knowledge from someone, whether it's like research in like the mom industry from like my mom friends that live in New York, or my friends back from Pennsylvania. So I'm always kind of like learning from everyone that I meet. So yeah, I wouldn't say there's like one certain female entrepreneur. I just try to gain knowledge from everyone. I love podcasts, listening to new entrepreneurs and hearing their stories.
What about your favorite cultural heroines, pop culture in particular?
I just saw Wonder Woman and she was badass. She was amazing. I saw that movie. I still need to finish the last 10 minutes. I watched it on a flight, but I was just blown away. I was like, yes, it was such a girl boss, like entrepreneurial, like girl power movie. I like fell in love with her in that role.
What's your secret to a rewarding life?
There's so many different levers for success and for rewarding life. And there's so many different meanings behind it. But for me, I feel like I'm living it. I'm so appreciative. I have an amazing husband. We just celebrated our 7-year anniversary. I have an incredible family. We love our house. We love our dog. Like we have a great, I feel like a nice balance on life. I mean, we could all work a little bit less and be less crazy with that, but we're all super passionate. I'm very happy and very blessed. So I think I'm living it, which is awesome to be able to say, because 10 years ago, who knew? Like I was single and I didn't have a business and I didn't know where I was going in life. So things can change very fast, and just being open to it. And when I met my husband, I think if I didn't date every loser in LA for 4 years, I would have shut him off because he had 2 kids. And I was 25 when I met him. And the 25-year-old me would be like, divorce with 2 kids? No, thank you. But I think you have to go through a lot of bad things and failures and things like that to understand the value. So when I met him, I didn't instantly say no. I said, okay, well, fine, let's go on a date, but it's not going to lead anywhere. And then I started getting out of my own head. And next thing you know, we're in love. And a couple years later, we're married, and I could not be happier. So I think it goes a long way to just kind of be open and not have yourself in a box and be open for things to come into your life. And it's okay to fail. It's okay to make mistakes. It's okay to date every loser in LA, because that will get you to the amazing husband or the amazing job or the amazing life that you want.
Do you have a routine of self-care if you find that you're working too much or you're focused too much on other things?
I love a good massage. I try to get them a lot. I just went to one on Sunday after our conference. So sometimes we'll order them to the house, which is incredible, or we'll go down the street and get one. I like boxing for my workout. That's fun, and I get to like punch it all out. And then for relaxation, I love just like swimming and being with my daughter and my family and just downtime. My husband and I love like beer and craft beer. We have like a kegerator at our house. So like going to a new brewery and trying that, or going, you know, tasting and you know, doing fun things like that, and just spending time with my family and kind of checking out.
What advice would you give to a young woman that wants to become an entrepreneur?
Keep going. The day you want to give up is the day you'll get over the hump and start succeeding. So keep powering through. You're going to face a million obstacles. That's kind of the fun of it. But just don't quit, because it's right around the corner. So many people quit, and you're surpassing them if you keep going.
What do you think is right around the corner for you?
Well, I'm launching a Mommy and Me subscription box with a friend of mine, Jana Kramer. So that's really exciting. It's 3 different boxes, an infant box, a toddler box, and a mom box. And it's for all those moms that feel guilty buying anything for themselves. So this way they can buy the box and they can open it with their child. It's gender neutral. So it's three items for the baby and three items for the mom to pamper them. So we're really excited about that. And then in terms of Simply, we're hoping to get into more countries and be more international. So that's the goal for next year and just keep expanding.
What's the name of the box and how will people be able to find it?
It's called Moms and Babes Box, and it's just momsandbabesbox.com.
Do you have a mantra that you live by?
It's don't sweat the small stuff, because I am that person. All my friends are like, how are you not freaking out about this? You have your conference tomorrow. I'm like, it's fine. I let things roll off my back, unless it's obviously a huge thing, but I am like a very go with the flow, don't sweat the small stuff, because if you focus on the small things, you're done. Obviously, you need someone to focus on the small things. But as a leader and as running your own business, you can't get weighed down on those little things. You got to just move forward and focus on the big, you know, eye on the prize.
Were you always like that, or is that something you taught yourself?
I've always been like that. All my college friends are like, how do you do that? I'm like, I don't know. I've just always been this way. And I figure out a way to make things work.
What's your definition of success?
Being able to live a comfortable life that you want to live, not being held down by stressors of, you know, monetary stress, and waking up every day happy. It can be success through your job, it can be through success in your relationship, but waking up every day, like, feeling good about yourself and your life.
Thank you for listening to the Passionistas Project podcast and our interview with Sarah Boyd. Visit simply-inc.com to learn more about Sarah's upcoming conferences. And be sure to subscribe to the Passionistas Project podcast so you don't miss any of our upcoming inspiring guests.